Chapter 13. Decisions. There was going to be a Bengal Tigers meeting about a week before the march. Chanu said, "Let's go to that meeting. I think it will be interesting." Nazneen dropped her scissors.
"I have to work," she said.
"I think you'll find it interesting," said Chanu.
Nazneen was worried. What was he going to do? On the day of the meeting, they both got ready to go. Chanu put on a suit and got out a file marked speech. He took out a piece of paper and began to read to himself. So that was it, thought Nazneen. He wanted to fight Karim with words. The community hall was about half full with young men. There were a few girls of similar age. The young men had formed two groups. The group on the right were in a circle, listening to someone in the centre. The group on the left kept looking over to the circle and shaking their heads. They did not seem to be feeling friendly. Karim jumped onto the stage, with the secretary following. "Brothers and sisters," Karim said. "Thank you for coming together against those who insult our religion. When we march, we'll show them we are strong and peaceful. Today, we need to discuss how we can get more people to join us. I want two organisers for every estate." The questioner climbed onto the stage.
"I've just got something to show people when you're finished."
"Show it now," said Karim.
"Okay," said the questioner. "A few weeks ago, America was attacked. Men, women, and children were killed. Everyone was sad. Now America is attacking Muslims. Our brothers are being killed. Their children die with them. No one is sad for them."
He passed around pictures of injured children.
"Karim says we must show our strength," he continued. "But all he means is that we must walk together down the street."
"What should we do then?" someone shouted.
"We're healthy young men. With a little planning, we can cross oceans."
"Listen," said Karim. "Out there, right now, are people who hate us and hate Islam. They're planning to march right here. We're not going to let them." He took a piece of paper from the secretary. "This is the list of estates. We need people to organise each one. First one, Berners Estate." Over on the right, two young men stood up.
"That's ours."
Immediately, three boys jumped up on the left.
"It's ours, and you know it."
"It doesn't belong to you. Come here and say that. You come here."
"In here," said Karim, "and out there, Bengal Tigers is the only group we belong to. No one owns any estate, okay?"
Karim found organisers for each estate. He told people what to do. He never stopped talking. He made everyone feel special. Nazneen wondered when Chanu would speak. He did not look at her. His head hung lower and lower. She pressed her knee against his. He moved it away. Finally, the meeting ended. Chanu cleared his throat and put his speech back inside his file.
"Better save this for another day," he said to Nazneen.
He smiled, but not with his eyes. There was no escaping Mrs. Islam this time. Nazneen walked straight into her at the butcher's. Nazneen asked after her health. Mrs. Islam ignored her.
"Your husband has bought the tickets by now. Run home and start packing."
"What tickets?"
"Stop lying."
I don't know what you're talking about, said Nazneen.
Of course you don't. You don't know that your husband went crying to Dr. Azad and Dr. Azad gave him the money to escape. Dr. Azad will never get his money back. I told him, but who listens to an old woman who has reached the end of her life?
Nazneen tried to get away, but Mrs. Islam held her hand very tightly.
I can't let you go, my child. How would it look to all the others? Let one go, and they all go. I have my sons to think about. Just give what you owe.
It's never enough, cried Nazneen. Mrs. Islam let go of Nazneen's hand.
God will help you find a way, she said.
That night, Chanu finished work very late, but Nazneen was waiting.
Is it true? She demanded.
He understood at once.
Yes,
he said, and he showed her the tickets. Then Nazneen had an even bigger shock. The date on the tickets said the 27th of October.
5 more days, said Chanu. There's a lot to do.
But we will never be ready. What about the flat? We can't just leave it.
Dr. Azad will deal with everything.
But what will you do in Dhaka? How will we live?
There's nothing to worry about. I have decided that I am going into the soap business.
He cleared his throat, but did not say anything else. Nazneen sat by Razia's window with a feeling of stress that she could hardly control. She thought about the extra suitcases Chanu had just bought. There were 3 days left, 3 more days to take action. The sound of repeated knocking came from Tariq's bedroom door. Razia lay on the floor. Nazneen said, "Shall I see what he wants?"
"No," said Razia. "There's only one thing he wants."
The knocking grew louder. Razia walked to the bedroom door and checked the metal bars across the top and the bottom. Just then, an enormous bang shook the door. Tariq had probably thrown himself at it. Now it was quiet. Perhaps he had hurt himself. Razia lay down on her side and closed her eyes.
Only 3 more days, thought Nazneen. Then they would get on the plane and go. And it was right to go with her husband. Chanu needed her. Children needed a father.
You think you're doing what's best for your children, said Razia, still with her eyes closed. But you can never go back and do it a different way and see if that would have been better.
How long has he been in there?
2 days. Razia opened her eyes. It was his idea, you know. The bars, the locking in. He said, even if I'm screaming and calling you names, don't let me out until it is finished, okay? And I promised him.
Nazneen thought about Hasina. 3 more days and she could go and find her.
She tried to imagine her sister as a woman with the marks of experience on her face. She could not.
Come and talk to me, Ma. It's boring in here, shouted Tariq.
What is it? Said Razia.
Just come near to me. I don't want to shout.
I can hear you very well. No need for shouting.
Tariq was quiet. Nazneen decided she would not say goodbye to Karim. He was busy with the march. She imagined him coming too late and finding her gone. She imagined him angry and crying.
Hey, Ma, listen, I'm feeling a lot better, really, said Tariq.
Good,
said Razia.
It's all thanks to you.
Good, said Razia.
I could walk out of here now and be completely fine.
Good, said Razia.
Ma, why don't you just open up the door for a minute and we'll have a nice cup of tea, you and me?
No, said Razia.
It's all right. I'll go back in my room afterwards.
I promised you, said Razia.
Look, you've done really well. You saved me. Now just open the door.
Razia held her knees tightly as she sat on the floor. Nazneen felt like her thoughts would bury her alive. Dhaka would be terrible. She had never even been there. And Hasina made it sound so ugly and dangerous. And how could she leave Karim so easily?
Open the door, shouted Tariq suddenly. Ma, I'm dying. Let me out. My leg hurts so much. It's killing me. I've been sick. Let me out.
Nazneen held tight to one thought. Fate would decide.
Can you hear me?
Tariq was talking too fast.
This isn't working. I just need a little bit right now. Let me out for an hour. I'll be back in an hour and I'll be a lot stronger then. Come on, Ma. Let me out.
Razia did not reply.
Just a little bit, screamed Tariq. That's all I need, you bitch.
For a few moments, all was quiet. Then Tariq began to cry. Later, Razia and Nazneen sat in the kitchen and drank a cup of tea.
So, said Razia, you're leaving. Have you told the boy, Karim?
Nazneen looked down at her tea and began to cry. There was a knock at the front door.
It will be the doctor, said Razia, come to give Tariq his medicine.
Razia let Dr. Azad in. He had come with another man, just in case Tariq tried to escape. Nazneen stayed in the kitchen. But Dr. Azad came in for a glass of water and found her there.
How is Tariq? She asked.
In a lot of pain, said the doctor.
Will he get better?
Maybe, if that's what he decides.
He drank his water, then pulled something out of his suit pocket.
I brought this for him.
It was a snow globe. He shook it, and they watched the small snowstorm inside.
It makes you feel calm, don't you think? He said. You know, my wife gave me this, back in the early days. We didn't have money for much, but we had love. I did not know, then, that there are two kinds of love. The kind that starts off big, but wears away over time, until one day it is finished. And the other kind, that you don't notice at first, but which adds a little bit to itself every day, like an oyster makes a pearl.
He put the snow globe back in his pocket, washed his glass, and went back to see his patient. October 2001. One day, I was helping Lovely in the bedroom. She looked in the mirror and said, I'm so beautiful, but I can't do anything with it. It makes me wish I was just ordinary, like you. When she was gone, I looked at my face in her mirror. It looked like a stranger's face. I brushed my hair and used her things to make myself look beautiful. Then I felt someone was watching. It was Zaid. He looks at me, and I know this look. Baby Daisy wants me to carry her all the time. Sometimes she falls asleep on me. Her hair is beautiful. She is beautiful. But Zaid saw me with her once and said, "She is not yours." In fact, nothing is mine. Sister, I know a big house is a good house, but a one-room house feels big if it belongs to you. Amma always said, "We are women. What can we do?" But I am not like Amma. She never did anything until the end. She thought all roads were closed for her. Forgive me, sister. I must tell you the secret I have kept for so long. I followed Amma to the store hut that day. I saw her touch three spears with her finger, testing them. We both know what she did next. She saw no other way. I ask God to put light in my heart so I can see the ways more clearly.